Our scripture today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go to the neighboring towns, so that I might proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the messages in the synagogues and casting out demons. The word of the Lord. So Mark, as a book, I think, presently at least, is my favorite gospel. It's short, it's to the point, it has bad grammar just like I do. I can identify with it. Mark, as we know, is the first gospel, which predates all the others by a pretty wide margin, written by an exilic people that don't have much to hope for, but still in the terseness of the gospel are finding hope and redemption and meaning. This is the first chapter of Mark. Jesus only just got baptized, and now he's running away from disciples who are hunting him. It's terse and to the point. So the first problem that we see in the text is that all this is happening on the Sabbath, a day that's supposed to be for rest and prayer, a day that's supposed to be set aside. But nonetheless, in the first chapter of Mark, Jesus is healing people on the Sabbath. He didn't get mobbed by people until after dusk because, of course, more law-abiding Jews, or at least what they think is law-abiding, waited to take their people to Jesus when they wouldn't get in trouble from the scribes that were listed previously in the chapter. But nonetheless, Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and Jesus was now becoming quite the matter of interest. He had a horde of people around him as soon as he could after they left the synagogue, and was actively being hunted by his disciples the next morning in response to the horde of people who had come again to seek Jesus out. I don't know about you, but with these to-do lists that I keep creating, I often feel like I'm being hunted by the things I have to do. There doesn't seem to be much rest or solace. There seems to be so much happening and so much busyness that is a part of our world that keeps us continually treading water and continually looking for something to do. This busyness seems to erode at what we really ought to be doing. This busyness seems to be to the detriment of many of our relationships, let alone our relationships to ourselves and to God. This is a chronic problem, especially for seminarians. We had a big seminar last month where our bishop in residence, Bishop Weaver, came and gave us a seminar on time management. So this retired bishop came and spoke to a bunch of people who are studying to be pastors and gave us advice about lists, advice about setting priorities, advice about putting things in quadrants of things that are important, not important, urgent, and not urgent, and it was a good presentation. Until he got to the end and said, "Remember to say no." Saying no touched a nerve with many of my classmates. Saying no was something very dangerous that we didn't want to touch or talk about or realize was a possibility in our lives. And we debated this fiercely after class. One of my favorite things about seminary is everything goes on for hours after class. It's quite fun. So we kept talking about this, and the realization came out that saying no is not a reality for some people, at least not in their current state. Saying no is dangerous for a person just starting a position. Saying no seems dangerous for a person who feels as though people in their setting don't trust them. Saying no is dangerous. Saying no seems to be coming harder and harder to do. Even in our purchasing decisions, going and saying that we want to go buy our products with an ethical mind is becoming harder as we find about more companies that are doing unjust business. Saying no is becoming harder. But in our texts, we seem to see Jesus saying no. When the disciples finally hunt down Jesus, he's had time to sit and pray. Jesus has had time to sit, recenter, think about what is important, think about what he's here to do. And when the disciples come to find him, he says, "No, there are people waiting for me, but I have other things to do." One thing I want to touch on, in this translation it says that Simon's mother-in-law got up to serve the disciples and Jesus. In other translations, that is different. In the King James, at least, I know, odd, but in the King James, it mentions Simon's mother got up to minister to the disciples and Jesus. Part of the reason why Jesus said no, I believe, is because he'd done that work and he had someone there already who was able to minister to the community so he could go off and have other people minister as well. So, what do we do? How do we minister to ourselves? How do we take this time to center ourselves amidst all the craziness, amidst everything that's going on, amidst all the 10 million things on our to-do lists? What do we do? How do we be the minister to ourselves and to others? How do we seek these times of quiet prayer? I'll say, I do have time. There are spaces in my life where I have time, and I just need to use them differently, I think. I joke often when I get down to school that my deepest hour of prayer each week is driving down 287. Between the traffic and dodging potholes, it's a stressful and tenuous time. But what am I doing the rest of my drive? What am I doing that 3 hours that I'm sitting in the car twice a week? What would it mean if I were intentional about taking that time, and instead of listening to the radio and being frustrated about what's going on, to rather sit and focus on God and meditate as I drive? What does that mean? Also, what does it mean that I often get frustrated when people say no to me? What does it mean that I often deprive people of some time where they could be sitting and connecting to God, sitting and being centered with themselves and re-engaging in this relationship? Are we able to honor God to ourselves and to others by both being able to say no and remember that when someone says no, it might be a good thing for them? How is it that we look at our systems, the systems within our workplaces, the systems within our community groups, the systems within these organizations that we're all a part of, and figure out why it is we feel that we can't say no, why it is that we need to be on this treadmill of continual busyness, why it is that we're on this hamster wheel that we can't seem to get off of to find ourselves again? How do we look at our systems so that we can empower others to say no as well as ourselves? There was a quote brought up in one of my classes that I'd like to share with you that I think is meaningful and pertinent to this case. Because we are conforming to our society's views of what successful life looks like, we take on so many busy tasks to make ourselves look successful. We thusly totally eclipse the life-giving time to reflect, to pray, to go deep into ourselves, and to be spiritually fed and grounded in who we are, or even to reclaim a heart at peace. This heart at peace bit is huge, especially at this time. There's been so much tension in our society lately. We need to find our hearts at peace for our own sakes, for our society's sakes. We need to take the time to recenter, to look at what's important, to look at what we're called to do here. Let us look to Jesus as a model. Let's look to Jesus as Jesus acted in the first chapter of Mark, let alone the rest of Mark. Let us look to find what's important. Let us look to find the power to say no. And let us look to find God again. Would you all take a moment and join me in an attitude of prayer? Hey, God. Thank you for bringing us all here that we might worship and serve you together. We're truly blessed to have such a community. We're truly blessed to be so supported and so loved. God, we thank you for everything that's going on in our lives. But we ask you to remind us that it's not always what we need to be doing. God, help us to remember that we indeed can say no, but also help us to remember that when someone says no to us, it might be a good thing. God, help us to see you in every day, in every moment, and at every time. For in your name we pray. Amen.